Seated today to my left are Blackhawks Chairman Rocky Wirtz, Chicago Blackhawks President and CEO John McDonough, Chicago Blackhawks Senior Vice President and General Manager Stan Bowman, and the new head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, Jeremy Colleton. I'd also like to acknowledge two other members of the Blackhawks front office in attendance today, Executive Vice President Jay Blunk and Senior Vice President of Hockey Operations Al McIsaac. Finally, not in attendance today, but some people I'd quickly like to acknowledge before we get started are Jeremy's family. Jeremy and his wife Jen welcomed their first daughter into the world on Thursday, Olivia, so it's been a busy few days for their family. Mom and big brothers Ben and Jack wish they could be here, but are doing great at home. We will start today with a few opening statements, but before we get there, I just want to let everybody know that we will open up a Q&A for media, and at that point, there will be a boom mic going around the audience. Just raise your hand. We just kindly ask that you state your name and affiliation and who your question is directed toward. With that, I'll turn things over to Chicago Blackhawks President and CEO, John McDonough.
Thank you, Adam. Today was a tough day, a bittersweet day for all of us. We made the decision to remove Joel Quenneville as our head coach. Joel had taken us to 3 Stanley Cup championships, 5 Western Conference finals, was the greatest coach in the history of our franchise, and is a surefire Hall of Famer. We wish him well. We met this morning very early. Joel, as he always is, consistent, was classy, respectful, dignified, and appreciative. He will always be a member of our family, and I think today we also need to celebrate the accomplishments. We need to get better. We need to get better, and we are all accountable. That starts with me. I have very high expectations for the people at this table. Rocky has very high expectations for me. Our standards are high, and I believe they're realistic. I'm excited to have Jeremy Colleton join us as our new head coach. I've had a chance to get to know Jeremy a little bit over the last year or so. He's measured. He's bright. He's got a very good hockey mind, and he's an excellent communicator. That is the one thing that really, really stood out. He will be given everything he needs to succeed. We're the Chicago Blackhawks. We know who we are. We know where we need to be in the landscape of Chicago. And there is always going to be a sense of purpose and a sense of urgency with this franchise. With that, I will turn it back over to Adam.
Thank you, John. Blackhawks Vice President, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Stan Bowman.
Thanks, Adam. Welcome, everybody. I'd like to start by thanking Joel Quenneville for everything that he's done, not only for our organization, but for me personally. You know, I think back to when I first started. I was a young guy. I was new to the job. And Joel was great to me. Not only back then, but he's been great to me all throughout. I learned an awful lot from Joel, and it was a great ride, and it was a great experience to be able to talk hockey with him. And, you know, we accomplished some special things together. So those are moments that will define us till the end of our careers. And, you know, I'm proud to be associated with Joel and to the great success we've had. But here we are today, and like John said, this was a very difficult decision for the reasons I just mentioned. Joel and I have spent a lot of time together, so It's a challenge to be here in front of you, but we do need to turn the page and we need to move forward. I'm excited with the direction that we're headed. And at this point, I'm proud to announce the new head coach of the Blackhawks, Jeremy Colleton.
First of all, I want to express my appreciation to Rocky, John, and Stan for the opportunity. First of all, to bring me from Sweden to the organization, and then now for this chance, and I'm grateful for that. It's an honor to join the Blackhawks, the Original Six franchise, fantastic city, tradition of success, and we're going to do everything we can to build on that. I need to say thank you to Joel also. He was a big part of why I wanted to come to the organization in the first place, and he was great to me, treated me so well, and for that reason, it's bittersweet to be succeeding him. I addressed the team this morning and want to keep most of it in-house, but I told them very excited to be working with them. It's an impressive group, and as a staff, we're going to do everything we can to help them succeed individually. In return, we want them to do everything they can to help the team win, and I think it's going to be an excellent partnership.
Thank you, Jeremy. We'll now pause for a few seconds and open up the floor for Q&A. Go ahead.
Jimmy Greenfield, Chicago Tribune. You got off to a good start, 6-2-2, and the last five games have been losses. Was this decision made based in large part on those five losses?
It's a good question. Something I was sort of expecting people to ask, and it's a decision like this isn't based on one game, one play, or one specific thing. It's sort of a collection of things, and certainly the road trip was concerning. But I think even heading into that, there were some elements of our game that didn't that weren't to the level that they needed to be, and it's not just based on the record of the team, but I think so. It's more of a totality of circumstances than it is based on just one specific game.
Go ahead, Devin.
David Hoffman, Score and Chicago Tribune. John, how would you respond to people who look at this and as the end of an era and the beginning of a rebuilding project?
I wouldn't label it as a rebuilding. I referenced today more of a remodeling. We still have Hall of Fame players. My expectations are that this is a playoff team, and if you get in, anything can happen. So that is the phase that we're in right now. You know, you never know what to call it, a rebuild, a remodeled. We want to win. We want to re-win. And we want that building filled, and we want them to, our fans, to see an exciting brand of hockey. And sometimes, as painful as it is, you need a fresh start. So that would probably be the way that I would depict this.
Tracy Myers from NHL.com. Jeremy, this is for you. It's a challenge, no matter what, when you take over a team. But to take over this team, 15 games in, with our kids and everything, what are the extra challenges that face you right now in this group?
Well, the challenge is to hit the ground running. We don't have much time before we play Thursday, and we had a good practice today, good energy. We pushed on a few things that we want the guys to focus on. It's just communication with everyone as early as possible with as many as possible so that everyone's on the same page and they know what the plan is, how we plan to win, and that's sort of the priority right now.
John Dietz from the Daily Herald. Stan or John, you know, there's been a lot going on this year as far as Saad, Kruger, Schmaltz, Ruda, guys who Joel's tried to motivate either by scratching them or appearing like he's going to scratch them. Do you feel like that's one of the reasons he was let go, is that the guys weren't performing up to what you would consider their abilities?
Well, those are the tools the coaches use, to try to get the most out of players. So I think That happens every year. That wasn't really unique to this season. I think at the end of the day, we're not where we need to be. And John said it a moment ago, you know, we want to be in the playoffs. And right now, we got some work to do to get there. So we have 67 games left, so there's still a lot of hockey to be played. And I think the urgency was we got to turn this thing around quickly. And that's how we are at this point.
You were so confident last April when you talked to us about that Joel was the guy going forward to be the guy to lead this franchise forward. We're only 15 games into the season. What makes you make the change so quickly? A lot of people would think this is awfully fast.
Because it's never too early, John. We had not contemplated a decision last year. We didn't have our goaltender. We didn't have Corey Crawford. Marian Hossa was out for the season. I thought, and our group thought, it was unfair at the time. But where we are right now, we got off to a fairly good start, slumped recently. We got to get this going in the right direction. We want to make sure that we're able to salvage this season, do everything we can to get this right. I've said this before, people always want to talk about what is the right time, John. What is the right time? Is June 7th the right time? Is December 10th the right time? There is no right time. This is all based on feel and experience and a lot of dialogue and conversation with some really smart people as well as our owner before we get to this point. And I think this is a very patient group. We are built on continuity. Joel was here as our coach for 10 years. I've been here going on 11. Rocky took over the team 11 years. Stan has been here 10 years. Loyalty plays a big role in this, but it has to be loyalty tethered to results.
Dan.
Jimmy, a lot is made about your age. Youngest coach in the league. What makes you believe you can, you're not only prepared for the challenge, but to guide a group of veterans that have so much success?
Well, ultimately it's about winning, and I have to earn their trust by them believing that I can help them win, that I can help them be better individually, that we as a staff can put together a plan so they can have success. So if I can do that, there's no problem. It doesn't matter how old I am. And so that's my challenge, but I don't really, my age, I don't think affects that. So after today, it won't be an issue, I don't think.
GM, do you anticipate any systemic changes? I know you've been on the job for about 8 hours.
Okay.
But that, and more specifically, is there something in your eyes that could be done to fix this power play?
Right. Well, I have a huge amount of respect for Joel. Those are they're huge shoes to fill. I won't try to fill them. I got to be myself. And we're different people. So I'll bring different things to the table, different ideas to the table. Sometimes that can bring some energy. Yeah, there'll be some things that we adjust. I don't think we're going to have a huge amount of change. Can we push on a few things detail-wise that can give us a little jump start? And then once we get our hands dirty here and we know the group a little better and play some games, then, yeah, things may come up, but then we'll feel more comfortable in the group and we'll be able to react accordingly.
You're listening to a live news conference going on right now with the Chicago Blackhawks introducing their new head coach, Jeremy Colliton.
How much did Rockford's success last year in the Calder Cup playoffs play a role in you feeling that it's time for Jeremy to be able to make this step and this jump to the NHL?
Well, that's a good point, because the thing that the playoff success showed was there was a progression in our team from the beginning of the year. And I think that shows a couple of things. It shows that your coach has had an impact on your players, and especially in the American League, you've got players that, you know, their games aren't quite all there, which is why they're not in the NHL. So they have to have some progression from the beginning of the year to the end. And I think you know, the people that help make that happen are the coach and the coaching staff. And I think that's a great strength of Jeremy's. So, you know, I was able to watch it firsthand throughout the season and not only watch our team play, but, you know, talk to Jeremy on a regular basis. You know, every week we would talk about the team down there. And then in the playoffs, I got a chance to follow the team around and see the way that they really hit their stride. So the thing that was impressive to me was it wasn't just the young players that got going in Rockford. We had some veteran guys, you know, Cody Franson and Lance Puma and guys like that who I think when they first got to Rockford, I think it's fair to say they weren't too excited to be in the American League. They had been NHL players for a long time, and that can be a challenge, you know, like someone mentioned earlier about his age. But I think they found out pretty quickly you know, how much fun they can have when they're all working together and the team is playing as a team. And, you know, so those were all really positive signs, and they were things that you make note of and you observe and you start to realize that Jeremy's got a lot of special talents.
Good. Scott Powers with The Athletic for John and Stan. When you make a decision like this, how do you measure if it's coaching issues or roster creation or where exactly the deficits have been?
Scott, I think decisions like this are made over time. There's regular dialogue, daily dialogue with myself and Stan and Al and Norm and Jay and everybody, and Rocky's looped in as well. There has never been a knee-jerk decision here, Scott. That's not how we operate. We take our time. We're not pressured into making decisions. We're not afraid of criticism. We realize there's going to be an avalanche of that. But we need to make sure, and we have an obligation to get this as right as we possibly can. But it's a lot of conversation, and it's a lot of conversations that Stan and I have had over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Emily?
No,
that's fine.
This is for Stan. If your team remains where they are in the standings, do you anticipate making any major roster moves?
Well, I think we have to let things settle a little bit here. Part of my job ongoing is to try to upgrade our roster. So that doesn't change based on where we are today. You know, it's a process of looking around the league. I'm not doing my job if I'm not talking to other managers and seeing if there's situations that can make our team better. So that's not going to change. We're not going to be reactionary and just make a move to make a move. As Jeremy spoke a little bit ago, we have a period here where we want to kind of get going, and I think there will be some different looks, and let's see how that plays out. And in the meantime, we'll keep, you know, watching other players and keep looking around to see if there's the ability to upgrade our roster. You can do that, you know, from within as well. We've got players in Rockford that obviously Jeremy's very familiar with, so I think he's got a good pulse on which of those guys, you know, might be able to help us, and we'll just keep monitoring that.
John, as tough a decision as it was to let Joel go, did you guys have to weigh whether it was going to be a coach and a GM thing, or was it, you know what I mean? Did you have to consider both?
No, I did not consider both, John. I believe in this roster. I believe in Stan. Stan is meticulous. He's very thorough. And when you break down free agents, when you break down trades, some work, some don't. You'd like most to go your way, and over time, they may. But his body of work is excellent. I want him to succeed. I want our roster to succeed. This is the first head coach that Stan Bowman has hired. And I'm excited about that. Stan has been very high on Jeremy for a long time, and I'm anxious to see how this is going to play out.
And if the playoffs remain the priority this year, why did you or how did you arrive at hiring a coach with no experience versus someone who might have had experience turning teams around in the past?
Thanks, David. For me, it's the experience I've had getting to know Jeremy over the past year and a half, and watching the way his teams play and watching the way that he handles the team, and his strengths as a coach are things which I think are going to help our group get to the next level. So there's no question that experience can be beneficial. Winning is pretty important as well. And if you look back at, Jeremy's had a lot of success for a guy who's doesn't have a long number of years as a coach, but not only last year with our Rockford team, but previous to that, he took a team in the second division in Sweden. It was quite an accomplishment for the Mora team to, if people aren't that familiar with it, but if you win your league, you get promoted to the top league, and he was able to do that, which was quite an accomplishment. And he took a team, and he found a way to maximize that. And I think, not to disparage that team by any means, but I think the talent level on this Blackhawks team is significantly higher. We're giving him an opportunity to work with some really special players.
Megan.
Reaction to all of this, how much were you involved in this decision? And we heard avalanche of criticism. How much are you worried about that?
No, I'm not. John came to me, and Stan, and we've talked about this. We talked about it last year. We talked about it this year. And you have to put the team, the organization, and the company first. And it's easy from 20,000 feet to criticize. But until you're, on the firing line and making a decision, the biggest problem, in my humble opinion, executives have is not making a decision. Because if you don't make a decision, you're never wrong. Now, our decisions are looked at every day, are written or heard or seen every day. So that comes with the territory. So I was very much in favor of what John and Stan had talked about. We knew Jeremy was in the wings, that he could always maybe sometime fill that job. We hoped it wouldn't be today, because we always want Joel to do well, because he's such a class act, and we think so much of Joel. But it just wasn't in the cards. So criticism comes, but the only way you overcome criticism is by winning.
Steve. Or, Stan, it's Steve Greenberg from the Sun-Times. The words power struggle have been widely used to characterize your relationship with Joel. Was there friction, and was that a problem for you?
I'm glad you asked that, Steve, because there's no truth to that whatsoever. Quite the contrary. Like I said in my opening remarks, Joel's been great to me the entire time we've been together. I would say we have a very good relationship. And do we agree on everything over 10 years? No, we don't. But we see the game very similarly. And I think that's one of the reasons we were able to have as much success as we did together. So there's just no truth to that at all. It was a difficult conversation this morning. It was pretty emotional for both of us. I can say that. But at the same time, there was always a mutual respect for each other. Like I said, I've learned so much from Joel. Such a bright guy. I'm glad you asked, because that's just not true.
John, Chris Emma from 670 The Score. You spoke of your belief in Stan. How do you differentiate the blame that Joel received clearly? And as you move forward with this decision, what does this mean for the organization, making the move of putting your back behind Stan while also, or I'm sorry, putting your back with Stan while also making the move in the head coaching change?
You mean my support of Stan, what impact that had on the head coaching change?
That would be the decision that went to Joel.
Well, if we have a general manager and I'm the president of the organization, he's got to feel my support. He's got to feel that I want him to succeed, that I care about him, and I have to give him the autonomy and the independence to hire the coach that he wants to. It would be very difficult if we decided to make a change and Stan said, I want to hire this coach, and we said that's not going to happen. Then all of a sudden, you neuter the general manager. But we were all on board with Jeremy when we talked about this. This has my full support. It has Rocky's full support. And Stan has my full support.
Clarify, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, what made Joel to blame, but Stan gets the backing and the belief?
Well, I think this isn't just about the blame. We're talking about a coach that had a historic run in the history of our game, one of the greatest runs of all time. We want to see it continue. But if there is a sense that we feel we need to improve, and it may not improve with that current group, we have an obligation to make a change. When we came on board about 11 years ago, and we had to make seismic changes everywhere in this organization, from start to finish. We have over 200 employees in the Blackhawks organization. When we started 11 years ago, there may be about a handful that are left. So we've had to make some really tough decisions. But Stan has my support. He had my support on hiring Jeremy. Now we're going to allow this to play out.
But Stan, Rick Rake at WBBM, you've praised Jeremy's abilities as a communicator a couple of times. Would you say that effective communication was an issue with the last staff down at the end of the line?
No, I didn't mean it that way. I was talking about Jeremy's strengths as a coach. No, Joel and Jeremy are different for sure. You know, their styles are not the same, but I don't think there's only one style that you can win with. But I think, you know, in relation to the question earlier, that's what I've been impressed with relative to the way Jeremy's coached. I think that it's been very successful, especially with the group that we've had in Rockford, and not only there, but with the groups he's coached before in Sweden. You know, his style is his style, and he said it early on, he's got to be himself. And I like the way that he handles things.
Roger Meliotis, NBC Sports Chicago. How much of today's decision was trying to get a fresh perspective from Jeremy as opposed to what Joel wasn't getting out of the group?
Well, there's always that aspect of it. I think when there's coaching changes in any sport, it's unlikely that you bring in a duplicate. You know, there's always... You know, that's probably part of the change, which is bringing something different to the table. So we want Jeremy to be Jeremy, and I think you know, that's going to give us, it's going to give him the best chance to make an impact.
Michelle.
Sean McMahon with NBC Sports Chicago. Talked a lot about building trust with these players. Obviously, you have to speed that up with the game coming up on Thursday. How do you approach that with building these relationships maybe faster than you would if you were hired in the offseason or had some time to build those relationships?
I had to be active today. That's, as you say, there's not a lot of time, and we're not going to have time for long sit-downs with everyone, but I think it's important to let everyone know that they can always come to me, they can always come to the staff, and we can have a conversation about whatever's going on. I don't want guys going home wondering where they fit in or what we want out of them or what the expectations are. That's no good. I don't think we want them to go home happy. We want them to come to the rink in the morning, the next morning, happy, because then they're going to be more productive, they're going to be better players. That's a big part of my job, is to creating an environment where they can be their best every day and they're getting better every day. So we did a lot today, we'll do a lot tomorrow, and that'll continue on.
Stan, Kurt Schwarman with Stadium. How much are you guys going to be looking at the leaders of this team, Taze, Kane, Seabrook, Keith, to kind of help lead this transition into the new coaching phase?
Well, they're leaders for a reason. It's not just what they can do on the ice, it's what they can do to help impact the team in a positive direction. The reason that they have those positions is because they're special guys. You know, I've known them for a long time, and there's nobody that wants to win more than the leadership group. You know, I've had the pleasure of being around them, and I've seen what drives them and motivates them, and they want to win. So for sure, they're going to play a big role. They have to. And it's not just their execution when they get on the ice. We need that to be high level as well. But it's the full package of their impact on the team. And I know Jeremy knows that as well, and I think you know, we're going to start with that.
Stan, Chris Emma with the score. Given the belief that you've been given by John and by this organization, what can you do differently to get this thing toward the playoffs and to become the team you guys believe you can be?
Well, John mentioned it at the outset that we're all accountable for this. This is not just on one person today or not just on Joel or the other coaches. We all play a role in this, and we all have to get better. So, you know, my role in this arrangement is not simply finding players. That's part of my role. But my role is interacting with our coaches and, you know, being a helping collaborate to make our team improve. Certainly part of that is player acquisitions or player movement. So I referenced earlier that we're on the lookout. If we can upgrade our team in any way, we're going to pursue that. So it's not just one thing. It's a combination of factors, and I'm determined to do that.
John, optics matter to the Blackhawks. And so as much as Joel Quenneville was involved or ingrained in the branding of this as a championship organization, how much did it factor in, did you factor in the fan base's reaction to a move like this? And what do you anticipate in terms of if there's a decline in interest, is there a spike in interest, anything that you expect after this move's made?
David, is our fan base is very, very important to us, and we care deeply about our sponsors and our season ticket holders and people who come to the games, who walk up in groups and everything else. But we have to make the tough decisions that we think are going to stabilize this organization, make us better, and want them to come to even more games. So that's where we landed. It wasn't today about branding. We want to get this right for the long term. We've had, it's hard for me to even say this, we've had an incredible 10-year run. But that's over. That's behind us. We don't care about, we're worried right now about the 2018-2019 season. So our fans have demonstrated incredible loyalty. But we know they want to see results on the ice. That's what's going to keep them coming back.
You just go into your decision for Barry Smith, making him an assistant coach. Does some of that have to do with maybe development and some of the young players in the system? His eye for that?
Sure, I'll let Jeremy talk as well, because you know he's had the chance to work with Barry, you know, last year. But there's no question Barry's strength in his role the last couple of years has been working with younger players, and you know Barry's got a unique talent for, you know, being able to make observations with players and in a very detailed way kind of help them grow their game. So obviously he brings a lot of experience to the table, but beyond that, I think his familiarity with our organization, you know, most of these players he's been working with since they were, you know, since the day we drafted them. Nick Schmaltz, guys like that, you know, it's not like he's just getting to know them. He's been working with them while they're in college, going and establishing a relationship with them. So he's very familiar with our guys, and he's been around our organization for a while. So our veteran players, he knows them as well. So, you know, for those reasons, it was a natural fit.
Jeremy, what about the fans?
Right. Well, I think I like my teams to play with a lot of pace, work away from the puck. We want to pressure the puck all over the ice. If you do that, hopefully you have the puck a lot, and then we want to keep it playing the offensive zone. I think the best way to defend is to do it in the offensive zone. I think mentioned earlier, I want every guy in the room to play for the team. Put team success before individual success. We got a lot of good players. If they all have team priorities, then there's going to be a lot of good things happening on the ice. So that's what we ask of the guys.
Do you anticipate adding another assistant coach? We'll assume the responsibilities that
Kevin will have. We won't be adding a coach, but as far as the responsibility.
Yeah, so it'll be, we're sharing everything right now. We just started, so that's kind of an ongoing conversation. But part of why I really like the guys I'm working with right now, we come from different backgrounds, different levels of experience, and hopefully we all bring something to the table, and free exchange of ideas, and then we'll come up with the best plan. So that's what we're in the process of doing right now, and we're excited about it and see how we can impact the team.
In your NHL career, did you have any experience playing at the United Center? Any memories stand out?
Yeah, I played here once. I think we lost 6-0. I did score a goal, but they called it off. Goalie interference. It wasn't me, though, but it was someone else had goal interference. But, yeah, I played here one time. I will say just one thing. First day I came here and I met Joel, he asked me that very question. And I give him a little bit of background. He knew exactly the game. He's like, oh, it was a Sunday night, 5 o'clock? Yeah, exactly.
How much are the realistic expectations for a timeline for implementing a system and seeing actual results from a new coach?
The coach's system?
Yeah, I guess seeing results change, or how, I mean, is there a patience that has to be allowed in this to having a new coach and trying to implement a new system during a season?
Well, obviously, yeah, they don't have much practice time. I mean, we've got another practice tomorrow and then a game. So from that perspective, it's going to take some time. I think Jeremy referenced it earlier that we're not going to reinvent the wheel here and try to put in an entirely new package because we don't have a lot of time to do that. But I think as time goes on, there might be adjustments made. But I think first and foremost, he's got to get used to our team, and they've got to get used to what things are important to Jeremy. You know, each coach has certain things that are critical for the team to succeed, and they're not always the same. And I think that's what we have to allow that to happen. So I don't have a time frame on that, but I think we have to have an understanding that there's going to be a period of time. But games are going on, so we're not trying to be really patient with it, but we got to do our best to be as good as we can starting Thursday.
Was there any consulting with any of the veteran player leadership either before the decision was made, or did you talk to them, Stan and John, after the decision was made?
Not beforehand, no. I think, you know, as far as afterwards, I have had some conversations. I think, like Jeremy said, you know, that's going to be the focus as we go forward here. You know, there was a lot going on today, so it was hard to have a sit down with many guys, but certainly going to do that as we go forward, and we'll see where that goes.
Anyone else? All right, with that, we're going to conclude today's press conference. We thank everybody again for coming. As for tomorrow's Chicago Blackhawks schedule, the team will practice here at 11 a.m. at MB Ice Arena. Thank you again.